Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Welcome back to Hope students. Good to see you again. Our visitors, everyone else. Holy Church has designated this Sunday, the third Sunday of Great Lent, to be the Sunday of the Holy Cross. And they've done this to give us relief. How often do you think of the cross in terms of relief and rest? Well, we sing through the cross, joy has come into all the world. We're going to bow down and worship before the cross this morning. We sing, before thy cross, we bow down in worship, O Master, and thy holy resurrection we glorify. It's because it's through the cross that we come to the resurrection. Through the cross, joy comes into all the world. You know, in the gospel reading this morning, we are told that if we are truly disciples of Jesus, we will also take up our cross and follow him. And we do that. And we do that in joy. He says that through the cross that joy comes into all the world. Now, the cross that we carry is so different from the cross that Christ carries. Why do I say that? The cross is an instrument of death. But when I stand here and listen to people come with confessions, they come and they're looking for life. And they say, you know, I'm struggling with these things that hold me down. And they're looking for life. They're looking for release. And it's the cross, first of Christ, that gives us relief. And then it's that we come with our own crosses and we, with Christ, united to him, we follow him. And we put to death all those things that the devil keeps throwing up at us. The passions of the flesh, temptations, whatever they be. We put them to death. It's a relief, isn't it? When you come to confession and you get up and you go back, I hope that you go back with relief. You have come and you kiss the cross and say, yes, I have God's forgiveness. I have new life. I want to read the hymn that we especially sing this morning. It's the Resurrectional Apologetion. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. For the Lord hath done a mighty act with his own arm. He hath trampled down death by death and become the firstborn from the dead. He hath delivered us from the depths of Hades, granting the world great mercy. He has destroyed death by his death, that's by his cross. Does that bring any joy to your heart? I should hope so. And then in the epistle reading this morning, we have one who is Jesus, the great high priest, who has been tempted just like we are, but without sin. And then this line, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are a people who continually pray for mercy. Why? Because we just never get it? We keep coming to God for mercy because we know that He will hear us. We know. We come with confidence. Lord, have mercy on me again. Yes, my child, I love you. I have mercy on you. You know, when we start, Deacon Jeffrey and I, we start before hardly anyone is here. Peter, you're here. When we start that very beginning of the pre-communion prayers before we even start Matins, and you hear, if you can hear well, I know that you're hard of hearing, but you witness this every Sunday, that we stand before the icons and we say a prayer. We start before the icon of Christ. And we say, we reverence thy spotless icon, O gracious Lord, and ask forgiveness of our transgressions, O Christ our God. For of thine own good will thou wast pleased to ascend the cross in the flesh, that thou mightest deliver from bondage to the enemy those whom thou hast fashioned. Wherefore we cry aloud unto thee, thou hast filled all things with joy, O our Savior, for thou didst come to save the world. Don't you just love to come to worship? This is the place where we are invigorated. This is the place where we are filled again with joy because we have come into this presence, the special presence of Christ our Savior, through whose cross joy has come into all the world. So we say, through the cross joy has come into all the world. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we read that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I learn certain phrases that are kind of in phrases that I just never heard before or whatever. And I remember when I was working at the Rapid, someone said, "Oh, my bad." And honestly, people, I'm not kidding. I had no idea what he meant. My bad. I said, "You're not bad." I found out it was a common phrase. Say, "Oh, it's my fault," or whatever. Well, I learned this phrase from my son, Andy, who's a lawyer. And he said, you know, as a new lawyer, the ones who have gone through and they're up in the rank, they give to me the hard work and they say, "Here, you do the heavy lifting." Heavy lifting. Well, that's just one of those phrases. You do the hard work. And then, you know, we'll share in the glory or whatever. But you do the hard work. Jesus said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve. And to give my life a ransom for many." When we talk about our crosses, people, all we are doing is following Him. He did the heavy lifting. When He went on the cross, He is the one who encountered all those dark forces of evil and wickedness. And He hit them head on. And He opened the doors of repentance for us. He opened the doors of paradise for us. Our death could never do any of that. No matter how good we are, no matter how loving we are. Our crosses cannot deliver anyone from death. You know, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And I would hope that we have that love, we have enough love that we would lay down our life for one another. But people, that doesn't open the door to paradise. Jesus did that in his death and resurrection. And it was hard. Never make light of the cross of Christ and his suffering and dying for us. We know that in the scripture, it tells us that Jesus, in Luke's gospel we read, that Jesus, being in great agony, he prayed earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down upon the ground, and he said, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was Jesus in the fullness of his humanity taking our place. But in that human nature, united to God in his deity, in his divine nature, he suffered, really suffered in a way that we never can. But he said yes. His humanity was 100% without sin. And why is that? Because even though he suffered, even though he cried in deep agony, even though he felt that pain, he always said, Your will be done. So why is it that we say that joy has come into all the world? I just want to read a couple things. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. If you question the love of God for you, look at the cross. Greater love hath no man than this. And if you suffer and you look for peace through Christ and his cross, peace has come into all the world. But now in Christ, I read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our peace. That he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. And now I want to read. So through the cross, joy has come. What is the joy? The joy is love. The joy is peace. And also forgiveness. Forgiveness comes to us through the cross. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses there, again from Paul in one of his epistles. This one to the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you, he says, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that stood against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Everything against us, our sins, the accusations of the devil, everything that's against us is nailed to the cross. And he made a public example of them. So we have new life. It says that in him he has made us alive together with him through the cross and the resurrection. Forgiveness of sins. And this is the most important one. That he has given us the victory. You know, I can say, I forgive you your sins. I forgive you. I don't hold anything against you. That's fine. That's good. But still, we're going to die. Right? And that's why we say, as Orthodox Christians, the heart and soul of our faith isn't in
being forgiven, of course, that's wonderful. We need to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God. But we need to be set free from death and hell. I mean, I can say I forgive you, but that won't do it. I'm going to read just one verse. And Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. He has triumphed over sin and death and hell and Satan and everything. That's a trophy, invincible. That cross is a trophy, invincible. It's our triumph. So in the Orthodox faith, the cross of Christ is never separated from his triumphal resurrection. In the cross of Christ, we see a death struggle with all the forces of evil, and in the resurrection, their ultimate and final defeat. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.